Corinthians chapter 2. We looked a couple weeks ago, while we had Christmas in between there, which was a little bit different. We looked at the saved person and the unsaved person, and then we also looked at the last couple weeks ago, we looked at the natural man and the carnal man, and the carnal Christian being a person who is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ through faith, but they continue to live their life in a carnal way. And we do not want to be that in a fleshly way. And today we're going to look at the spiritual man. And really we're going to look at four passages of scripture and four attributes or aspects of a spiritual man. We're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13 through 15. The Bible says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And let's pray, and we'll look at this passage as well as a few others. Father, I pray that indeed being saved people, and I do believe that at least the vast majority of the people present today are saved. They've trusted you as Savior, and you've changed their lives. God, I pray that we would live as spiritual people, not carnal, not fleshly, not living as the natural man, but God, help us to take this message from four different places in your word today and strengthen us spiritually. And God, help us to be ready for this new year and to be able to go into this new year with a spiritual mindset. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we notice in verse 14, it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." You know, when you deal with living the Christian life, do you realize that the majority of unsaved people look at the way Christians live and they say, "That doesn't make any sense. That is foolishness. Ah, come on, you don't need to really do that." And they don't understand it, because they can't understand it, because the natural man doesn't comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man does not look at the Word of God and realize that, oh, this is what the Bible says, so this is how we need to live. The spiritual man, however, he does, and the first point today is the spiritual man compares and judges by the Bible. He compares everything in his life and he judges everything that he does and everything that goes on around according to the Word of God. It says, "Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." You want to understand the Bible? First, you need to be saved. And so many times, even that step of salvation, it takes the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it takes the Word of God to bring a person to that point where they understand even what salvation is. And we're praying for many people to be saved. We're working with different people toward salvation. But sometime the light has to come on. And the light is going to come on when they're exposed to the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to do a work in their heart, and all of a sudden they realize, "I'm a natural man. I need to be saved." And then they get saved. And then all of a sudden, the Bible and everything that's preached from the Bible makes a lot more sense. It just does. And so it says in verse 15, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." So the spiritual man takes everything and lines it up with the Word of God and then determines, is this right according to the Bible or not? When we say the spiritual man judgeth all things, you know, we do not judge man. God does that. I cannot condemn a man to hell. I cannot allow a man into heaven. That is God's job. So we are not taking a person and condemning them. The Bible says an unsaved person is condemned already, and a saved person is going to heaven. So it has nothing to do with condemnation. It has nothing to do with we're judging a man to hell. We're not the judge. Jesus Christ is the judge. But the Bible says that a spiritual man will judge all things. So what he's going to do is we can judge the actions of a person to be right or wrong. We're not judging the person. That's God's job. But we are judging the actions of a person and declaring these are right, these are wrong. And biblically speaking, a spiritual man will do that in all things. That's what the Bible says. You know, the spiritual man, he takes the Word of God and he makes a judgment. Should I take this job or not? Okay, and he thinks about that and he says, okay, I need to line this job up with the Word of God. If this job involves selling alcohol, the Bible says, woe to the man that giveth his neighbor to drink. Okay, that job's out of the question. It's not proper for a Christian. It just is not able to be taken. You take a job that says, okay, we want you to work on Sunday, and you're going to have to miss church on Sunday morning or Sunday night, and we're going to look at that and say, well, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so you're going to say, this job is not for me, because I am judging it according to the Word of God. It is going to cause me to miss church on the Lord's day. And this just isn't right for me to take this job. And you take it no matter what the job is. And I can't lay out every job and every scenario and say, today, this one's right, this one's wrong, this one's right, this one's wrong. The spiritual person will take the Word of God and they will do that for themselves. And they will judge that job, whether they take it or not. They're going to take absolutely everything. They're going to look at it and say, should I be friends with this person? There are people that are going to help your spiritual life, and there are people that are going to hinder your spiritual life. And you know what? If a person is involved in wickedness, I am not going to be friends with that person. I may take the Word of God and try to help that person. But you know what? The Bible says this. Can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. And the answer to that is an obvious no. People aren't going to walk together except they be agreed. And you know what? When a person is walking down a road and I look at it and say, I cannot agree with that road because that road does not agree with the Word of God, I have to say that person cannot be my friend. I can be friendly to that person. I can try to help that person. I can try to get that person on the right road, but that's not going to be my buddy. That's not going to be the person I spend all the time with, because that will drag me down. That will take me to a place and put me into a place of temptation that I don't want to be in. And so the spiritual man is going to judge, should I be friends with this person? The spiritual man is going to say, according to the Word of God, should I wear this or should I not wear this? And there are certain things that the Bible lays out. We're not preaching an entire message on that today. We're just simply looking at the fact that everything we do, should I take this? Can I biblically, can I spiritually wear this? Does it agree with the guidelines that God has laid out in the Word of God? And you have to ask, is this the apparel of a man or is this the apparel of a woman? Is this too tight? Is this too low? Is this too high? And we ask all of those questions saying, I have to judge this according to what the Bible says. We think about this. Where should I go to church? That should be judged by the Bible. If the church does not even believe the Bible, then it's not a church that you should go to. You know, if a church can't even figure out which Bible is the right Bible, and it may take some study, it may take some work to do that, but that's not a church that you're going to want to go to, because if you've got 15 different Bibles and they don't all say the same thing, and they don't, The King James Bible is the Word of God. It's very clear. It's translated from the Hebrew and from the Greek accurately. And, you know, when you've got a Bible that says Jesus was born of a virgin, and you've got another Bible that says he was born of a young woman, there's a problem there. If you've got a Bible that says that God was the father of Jesus, and the Bible is very clear to make mention and say Joseph and his mother, and you've got another Bible that says his father and his mother, referring to Joseph as his father, it's messed up. And you've got to be careful about those things. So if the church can't get it right, it's not a church that you go to. And you go on down through the doctrine of the church, and then you'll go on down through the sound doctrine of the church and say, hey, where should I be going to church? I want to go to a church that believes the Bible. I want to go to a church that they open it and say, okay, God said it. I believe it. It's that simple. It's not a difficult thing. Where should I go to church? You ask the question and judge it according to the Bible. How should I raise my children? The spiritual man, where is he going to go? To the Word of God. The spiritual man is not going to Dr. Spock and asking Dr. Spock, who was not a saved person, whose children grew up and they said, we hate our father. And that was their testimony. I'm sorry, that's not where I'm going to learn parenting skills. I'm going to go to the Word of God. I'm not going to the culture of society. I'm going to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? And the Bible has much to say about that. The spiritual person is going to go to the Word of God, and he's going to say, how should I use the money that God has given me? You say, how does God give you money? Well, God gives you the ability to work. And so you work, you make the money, say, oh, well, that's mine. Who gave you the ability to work? Technically, it's God's. Now, no one is ever suggesting that you give it all to God. God has a plan laid out in His Word, but the Bible lays out some things. And the Bible talks about debt, in which the things that you have are not worth as much as you owe, and that is a debt problem. When you have things and you owe more on them than they're worth, that's a problem place to be. And the Bible against it, but you look at it and you say, look, I want to take everything. I am going to put my flesh aside. I am going to take and put aside the culture of the day. I'm going to put aside the thought pattern of other people. And I am going to say, what does the Bible say? Well, I think that is not consulted. It doesn't matter. If the Word of God says one thing and the, well, I think, is different, who's right? God is right every time. God is right every time. So it's not, well, I think this. I don't care. I don't care what I think. You understand? I'm not being mean. I'm not saying, well, I don't care what you think. I do care what you think. But I care that what you think lines up with the Word of God. And spiritual people are going to take it, they're going to line it up with the Word of God, and their thoughts agree with the Bible. When I say, well, I don't think, I'm talking about what I think doesn't matter. I can say all day long, well, I think. Somebody comes and says, well, I have a question about this. I'm not going to say, well, I think. I'm going to lay that thing up against the Bible, and I'm going to say, what does the Bible teach about this? Maybe the Bible doesn't have the direct answer. Maybe the Bible is not dealing with that issue directly, but there are principles all through the Word of God that I believe you can honestly take any question, and you can get a Bible answer for any question that's out there by taking those principles. So first of all, the spiritual man compares and judges all things by the Word of God. All that means is simply this. He's laying it up against the Bible, and he's saying, is it right or is it wrong? If you were to take a ruler and you told everybody in this room, draw a line that you think is a foot long. Okay? Everybody would draw. Some people would get it pretty close. But what would you do to find out who is right? You lay it up against a ruler. And you say, okay, yours is 11 9/8. Oh, that would just simply be 12 1/8, right? 11 9/8 is simply 12 1/8. That works. Okay, so 11 7/8 inches. This one's 10 inches. This one's 14. This guy made a lie that was 20 inches. If I gave you an 8 by 11 sheet of paper, you'd have to come diagonally or you wouldn't even be able to fit it on there. But what do? You lay it up against the ruler. Are you condemning the person that drew the line in any way for missing it? No, they gave it their best shot, but if it wasn't accurate, it doesn't work, right? We want to put it up against the guide. The guide being the Word of God. Secondly, Galatians 6. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. The book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Okay, so here is an action of a spiritual man. It says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what is the burden that you're helping to bear here? It is the burden of the man that is overtaken in a fault, right? It's not talking about this person has a financial burden or this person has a sickness burden. It's talking about if a man be overtaken in a fault, he's involved in something that is not in agreement with the Word of God. He says, you which are spiritual, take that person, restore such an one. And as you're doing it, you're using the spirit of meekness. What is that? So you're not looking at the person and cutting them down and being mean and being sarcastic and treating him like a dog. You're taking the person and you're saying, look, here is what you're doing. Here is what the Bible says. Now, what is the spiritual man supposed to do? He is supposed to restore this person in the spirit of meekness. He's supposed to, in this process, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There are certain things you better be careful about. You know, if you are saved and you had a problem with drinking in the past, it's probably not the best idea for you to go and try to help the person who has a problem with drinking. You got to consider yourself. You got to consider, can I help him or is this going to be a hindrance to me? And so you look at this situation, but the spiritual person is going to get involved in bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ. The spiritual person properly concerns themselves with the needs of others. Properly. Okay? It's not backbiting. It's not being a busybody. It's not meddling in other people's business. It's properly concerns himself with the needs of the others. You remember the Pharisee and the Levite. They walked along. They saw the man in need, the man that needed to be picked up. And were they spiritual people? They were not. They did not stop. They did not help them. They did not try to pick that man up. They did not try to raise him up. And along comes a Samaritan. And the Samaritan, he helps the man. He picks him up. See, the Pharisee sees the person that's overtaken in a fault. And they go around and they say, oh, Adam, did you see him? Do you know what he's doing? Do you know what he's involved in? That's a Pharisee. He sees the fault, and yet he's coming along and he's saying, and he's talking about it. The spiritual man isn't going to talk to Adam about it. The spiritual man is going to come along beside that person and restore them. Pick them back up. There's a huge difference. in how a spiritual man is going to respond to a man who is overtaken in a fault. We do not criticize the fallen. We bend over and stoop down to pick them up. You know what? There's some people, they're involved in a fault and they don't even know it. How many of you, sometime or another, you were involved in something that was wrong and you didn't even know it was wrong? Okay? And all of a sudden, the Word of God comes along and somebody took the Word of God and they said, look at this. And whether it was in the preaching or whether it was in an individual basis, somebody took the Word of God and says, you know what? This thing that you're involved in, how does it compare with the Bible? They weren't calling you names. They weren't kicking you while you were down. They weren't going around talking to 300 people about what you were doing. They took the Word of God and they said, hey, let's get this thing fixed. Sometimes that takes place in a Sunday school class. Sometimes that takes place in church. Sometimes it takes place individually. We're not, you know, some people, they just didn't know. And that's the beauty of the Word of God. We're always growing. There's always something more to learn. The key is, when you find out that what you are doing doesn't line up with the Bible, what are you supposed to do? Line up with the Bible. So some people didn't even know that they were involved in a fault. Now, other people, you bend down to try to pick them up off the ground, and they stick their hands into the roots of the grass, and they hold on for dear life because they love what they're doing more than they love the Word of God. And you can try as you might. You can preach your heart out. You can go to them individually. You can take the Word of God and say, look, you're overtaken in a fault. And they just say, and you try to pick them up and they just hang on with a steel grip. They won't be moved. They won't change. You've taken the Word of God. You've done it in a spirit of meekness. You haven't gotten involved in being tempted into that thing that they're doing. You're just there trying to help. Some people don't want help. And sometimes you just have to step back, say, let God deal with this. And God can, and God does, and God will. The lost people are definitely in a fault. They've not received Jesus Christ as Savior. And, okay, so what do you do? Are we condemning them to hell? No, they're already condemned. He that believeth not is condemned, what? Already, that's what the Bible says. So you're going out there, you're not, when you tell a person you're a sinner, are you the judge of their actions? No, God is. You're just telling them the facts from the Word of God, saying, look, you need to get saved. Why do you do that? Spiritual people do that. Spiritual people take a person who is in a bad position and they try to get them to a right position. For an unsaved person, they need to get saved. Do you realize if they die, they're going to hell? Do you have friends that you've never talked to about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have friends that aren't saved and you have never gone and tried to win them to Jesus Christ? Think about this. What kind of friend are you? And honestly, are you a spiritual person? If that is the condition that you're in. So whether the person is saved and needs to be restored, whether the person is lost and they need to be saved, a spiritual person is going to live his life for others instead of living for himself. It takes, you know what? It is selfless to go to a person and try to restore them. Believe me, a lot of people don't even like you when you do it. A lot of people don't even want to hear it. And if you honestly, if you think about self, you're not going to go. But you go. And you try to win that person to Jesus Christ because it's right. Because you have realized that's more important than what they think about me. Well, they won't be my friend anymore if I tell them that they need to be saved. What's more important, that they get saved or that they're your friend? It's more important that they get saved. Is it more important that your coworker likes you or that they get saved? It's more important that they get saved. And they may dislike you for a long time, but if in the event they ever get saved, they are going to thank you 1,000 times over that you cared for their soul. And it may be a process, but it is necessary. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So the spiritual man compares and judges all things by the Bible. The spiritual man lives for others and not self. Romans 8 and verse 6. The Bible says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." The spiritual man enjoys fellowship with God and the things of God. I want to be in church today. I'm looking forward to tonight, and we're going to have a good time after the service is over tonight. I'm looking forward to that. Why? I like to be around God's people. I like to fellowship with God's people. I enjoy the company. You know what? I don't expect to hear one curse word tonight. You know, we may be here till 3 o'clock in the morning, and I don't expect to hear one curse word. Why? Because God's people don't curse. Or they shouldn't. Unfortunately, sometimes maybe they do. But I don't, you know what? It's a blessing to be around godly people and to play games with godly people and to fellowship with godly people. I have no desire to go into a crowd of people where I'm going to have to listen to filth. They enjoy fellowship with God. Do you enjoy this book? When you get up in the morning, do you enjoy it? You know, you can measure your spirituality to a large degree by this. If you get up in the morning, it's like, oh, I've got to read the Bible. There's something wrong. You have slipped into a carnal state. If you should enjoy reading the Bible. You should enjoy the things of God. If you come to Sunday and say, I better go to church. If I don't, people are going to think worse of me. You're carnal. That is a state of carnality. Your whole thought and idea should be, I want to go and hear the preaching of the Word of God. Not because I'm doing the preaching. It doesn't matter who's doing the preaching. Wednesday night, we had Brother Jason Brown preach. A few weeks ago, Adam preached. Tonight, we got two teenage boys preaching. You know what? I'm looking forward to it. They're going to open the Bible, and they're going to give us something from the Bible. You ought to enjoy it. It ought to be a passion. You ought to enjoy the things of God. John 10:10 talks about giving the abundant life, and Jesus Christ giving the abundant life. Let's go ahead and read it. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know what God wants you to have? God wants to have you to have a life where you enjoy the Word of God, where you enjoy praying, where you enjoy the assembly of believers, where you enjoy going out and witnessing to people. Oh, that's hard. It's hard if you're in the flesh. Because the spiritual man doesn't look at it and think, they slammed the door in my face. The spiritual man looks at it and says, they slammed the door in God's face. Self is removed from the equation. What did they just do? They rejected Jesus Christ. You know what that ought to do? It ought to break your heart. If you walk away from that door, well, fine then. That's carnal. It's fleshly. And sometimes, you know, you can walk away and you can have a discussion with whoever you're out with and say, boy, I wish they had listened to this. Or maybe next time we could say this. There's a lot of things to discuss, but it shouldn't be an attitude of, well, look what they did to me. I ain't going again. That's carnal. We go out, we enjoy the things of God. And you know what all that adds up to be? Bible reading plus prayer plus church plus witnessing plus Christian living equals an abundant life. It's a great life. It's a joyous life. But if you stick a little bit of self anywhere in that, all of a sudden it's messed up. See, the abundant life is a life where you're living for God rather than living for self. So the spiritual person enjoys fellowship with God and the things of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and verse 23. Famous verses of the Bible. There's a song that goes with them, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You think about this. The spiritual person, fourthly, has the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he is allowing the Holy Spirit to work through him. The spiritual person loves. You know what? Many a husband is loved by their wife and is not reciprocated. Many a child is loved by their parents, and the child doesn't give it back. It's great when the child begins to give it back. But do you base your love on whether they give it back? Or is it part of you because the Spirit of God is in you? See, a parent's love for their child is pretty much unconditional. You love them. Sometimes the child does something and it breaks your heart. But you don't just throw them out on the doorstep. You love them. You correct them. But you love them. Whether it's reciprocated or not. A spiritual person has joy. No matter what. If your joy is based upon your circumstances and your situation, that's carnal. Anybody can be happy when all the bills are paid, they got plenty of money, everything's going right. They're healthy, the cars are running. Anybody can be happy in those circumstances. Well, how about when the health goes? How about when the paycheck stops? Can you have the joy of the Lord? Do you know that God's still taking care of you? Do you trust Him? Joy, no matter what. The spiritual person, long-suffering, you think, or peace is the next one. Peace, they're not living in a frantic way. They're not running around like a chicken with their head cut off. Now, they might be just as busy as somebody else, but in all of that, there's a certain peace that goes with it. They're not frantic. They're not worried about things. You know, that was a great song. In heaven, all the worries are gone. But for a Christian, you can add that, if we're living in a spiritual state, should we really be worried here? You know, you think about it. I look forward to the day in heaven where worries no longer exist. But we can take that and bring a little bit of heaven back this way and be filled with the Holy Spirit and trust God too, right? When does worry come? When self gets involved. It comes when we start thinking about us and we stop trusting God. So there's a great peace, long-suffering, able to remain Christ-like when suffering long. That if you just kind of turn that around, it kind of gives a definition of it. Can you remain Christ-like when you're suffering? Do you? Are you able to? Do you do that gentleness? You know, Jesus Christ was firm and he was commanding, right? Boy, he laid out. He laid it out. He laid out the law. He brought it to a new level. He says, I want to tell you, whether you do it or whether you think about it, it's the same thing. At the same time, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so the ability to be firm and the ability to be commanding, And yet the ability to be gentle and to bring that person along and care about their soul, that's spiritual goodness. The good man will do right in the right way for the right reason. He'll do right. He'll do it in the right way, and he'll do it for the right reason. The person that does good in order to get something for self, that's carnal. When you do good just because it's good, that's spiritual faith. You know, faith does what the Bible says and leaves the consequences to God. Faith does not sit there and weigh out, how is this going to work out for me if I do this? Faith just simply accepts what the Bible says, acts upon it, and says, however this works out, it's in God's hands. That's faith. That's spiritual. The carnal man is weighing the faith in the Word of God against the circumstances and thinking, maybe I know better than God does in this situation. That's carnal. Spiritual is just taking the Word of God for what it says, believing it, acting upon it, and whatever happens, happens, because we can trust Him. That is faith. Meekness. Can you take wrong and remain loving and remain merciful? Nobody likes to be wronged, right? Jesus Christ was wronged by us. He bore our sin. And yet that mercy, He did it all with a right spirit and a right attitude. You know what? When somebody says something against you, can you still care for that person? Well, that lost person, they lied about me. Guess what? They still need to be saved. Meekness just takes self and says, you know what? I put me aside. I still need to try to win that person to Jesus Christ. I still need to try to restore that brother to right. Temperance, emotions and thoughts and actions must be controlled. Temperance is control of emotion. Your emotions should not control you. You should control your emotions. For men, maybe that emotion is anger. For women, maybe that emotion is worry. For men, that emotion may be a temper. For the woman, maybe it's just that I want to cry when anything goes wrong. Emotions need to be controlled. A spiritual man will control his emotions. How about thoughts? Thoughts. It's not just how we live, it's how we think. The spiritual man is going to control, by the Word of God, his thoughts and then actions. Actions are the end of the thing. Before the actions comes emotions and thoughts, usually. People don't usually just some people react. If you react out of anger, well, the emotion took place and it caused the action. You hit the wall, you laid on the horn, whatever takes place. The emotion drove the action. Thoughts drive action. So you're controlling your emotions, your thoughts, and ultimately by controlling those, you control your actions. God says, I want people to be spiritual. The spiritual man compares and judges everything by the Bible. The spiritual man lives for others instead of self. The spiritual man enjoys fellowship with God and the things of God. The spiritual man has the fruit of the Spirit. So you take yourself. I can't do it. I can't judge whether you're spiritual or not. I can look at different actions and different things, but ultimately, you take yourself, put yourself against the Word of God, and this morning, do what God would have you to do. Pray, make a decision, take the area that the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart in, and say, you know what? I've got to work on this, and pray and get God's help in so doing. Let's stand to our feet.